There's a number of reasons, Vicky, and I'll probably won't get into all of them. The main one is that our infrastructure is quite old, and in order to keep it running at any sensible usage level for consumers as the demand grows, we need to actually tackle the infrastructure costs. Now, other listeners will be saying there's one other major factor, and it might be, but certainly the type of infrastructure is starting to get fairly weakened, and it needs to be improved, and that requires substantial amounts of money.
But why is this happening now, pretty much in every state and territory right across the country, that electricity prices are going up?
Well, for the last 10 to 15 years in Australia, there's been a fairly significant, some would say, neglect, others would say eye off the ball, on maintaining and repairing infrastructure. And that is because of the cost. Politically, state governments and federal governments of all ilks have ignored, if you like, the need to keep maintenance high on the infrastructure that supplies our power. And now we've reached a point where, from a usage point of view, with the demand increasing, you can no longer ignore it. It just needs to be done, and so the expenses now land on our books.
I'm trying to figure out who has been in government generally, and I think it's Labor. The Labor Party has held most state and territory governments over the last decade or so. So are they to blame? Are they the ones who could not make the tough decisions?
Well, I think any large-scale infrastructure spending or high budget requirements tend to be put back as long as possible by whatever government. But certainly if you look at the last 15 years from a state point of view, it's the Labor governments that have been in power and probably had the opportunity to improve, if you like, or invest in that particular area, and have chosen not to. They've determined other priorities. Whether those other priorities were legitimate or otherwise, we'll let the voters decide. But
why isn't there more of a focus on alternative energies?
We're starting to get to the concept of alternative energies now, and I think the challenge has been that the subsidies that go to existing power stations are substantial. People really don't appreciate just how much money the incumbent coal-fired power stations in particular are getting support by the taxpayer. That benefit, if you like, or that added advantage has not been provided to alternative sources of energy. And I know in Darwin, for instance, we had a chat recently about someone putting into one of the wave tidal schemes to try and generate power. They're the sorts of investments that need to be supported and carried forward. From an infrastructure point of view, what we are starting to come to realise, not only in Australia but around the world, that having large-scale, singular, centralised versions of power are very vulnerable to large-scale weather events or breakdown. And if you don't have a small-scale distributed network, then ultimately you're going to be vulnerable. Back in the 40s, 50s, where things were stable and easy to manage, big centralised stations made sense. Now they don't. And so we need to be looking at alternative sources like renewables, solar, wind, water, biofuels, some of the methane capture from tip sites and things like that that can actually take the pressure off the existing infrastructure.
Methane capture from tip sites?
Yeah, that's right. Most of the tips, if you think of how much rubbish we've thrown out over the years, and the human species is really good at waste. One of our great skills is taking a whole lot of resources and using it really poorly and then creating lots and lots of waste.
Yeah.
And that's around the world. So what they've discovered, if you go back to your old tip sites, if you put a concrete cap over the top of the old tip site, the producible waste, stuff that rots, is continuing to rot below the ground where it's been buried, and it forms methane. You then capture that methane and you have a source of gas that can run for quite an extensive amount of time, either to power the site or other areas around it. So
like a compost?
Exactly. It's like the large compost bin, but with a big plastic bag over the top. And as the methane rots and it's captured out, you actually tap that methane gas yourself and then you can use it for another source.
Marcus Barber, our futurist. I just want to go back to something that you mentioned there, and it's about how the coal industry is supported by the government to generate electricity. Supported meaning subsidised. And here in the Northern Territory, the Country Liberals government have repeatedly said that they have to stop subsidising and supporting power and water, and therefore we are going to have to pay more money, more for power and for water. Why is it that governments have, not just here in the Territory, but right across the country, why is it that the governments have continued to support the coal industry?
I guess the idea for most of them is that they have a sunk cost, if you like. There's already money been invested to supporting the infrastructure that's that's around, that's been around for quite some time, to enable that to happen. And for many of them, the price of letting that infrastructure go to waste or turning it off altogether is just a price that's been too unbearable for them to consider. But we're now reaching a point where it's not such a big deal. We know we're either going to have to invest significant to bring it up to scratch, or we're going to have to go down a different path where we can get off the full reliance on coal, as it were.
Why aren't we looking to uranium?
Well, that's a really strong political question. The uranium sounds really good. And the challenge is what you do with the waste and how much energy do you use to build the stations in the first place. Now, there are other experts that are a far better place than I am, Vicky, so I flag that for the listeners. I'm not going to claim to be a uranium proponent one way or another.
I ask because it's obviously a resource that is in abundance here in the Northern Territory. We export most of the uranium that is mined. Mm-hmm. I know that countries like France, pretty much all of their power is generated as a result of nuclear power stations, uranium. But we seem to really struggle with the idea here in Australia.
Yes. And I think we've sort of hung on to that mid-1970s, early 80s mindset that developed in relation to uranium being dirty. If you go back to the film The China Syndrome with, I think it was Jane Fonda and someone else, I can't remember at the time, but you know, that was one of those mainstream issues looking at the Three Mile Island incident, and that really hit home for a lot of people, the challenge with uranium.
Mm.
Now, we talk about the industry saying technology's improved, and yet the cost so far to Japan out of the Fukushima meltdown is around $130, $140 billion and counting.
Mm.
So we have to be very careful. We say it's really good and, yes, it's positive, we have to go that way, or take the alternative poll and say it's useless, we should never have it. I think there will become a time when Australia will need to seriously consider having uranium, and how we tend to use that internally is going to be a subject of some great public debate.
Oh, yeah. It certainly will be, Marcus Barber. Thank you so much for your time.
No worries, Vicky. Cheers.